So I begin today basically where we left off last week. Ephesians 5, where Paul comes to this conclusion after Ephesians 4 talking about how Christian people, specifically in that moment, Ephesian Christians, but really for all of us, but how Christian people are to interact not only with the world, but also with one another. And here's his conclusion, the first two verses of chapter 5, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children. And that's an important phrase there, as beloved children. I want us to hold on to that for just a few minutes. So, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So Paul understands and is trying to get the church at Ephesus, his brothers and sisters there, to understand or really to remember that the way in which we live in this world, whether it is in relation to one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, whether it's in relation to our blood family, whether it's in relation to the neighbors, to community members, whoever it may be, that we always remember that in Christ we are the children of God. That's the catalyst. And if we're ever struggling in interacting with others, not that this ever happens, right? But if we're ever struggling in interacting with someone else, it is good for us to pause and to remember that we are beloved children of God through Jesus Christ. The psalmist knew this, at least belonging to God. Psalm 63, O God, the psalmist writes, you are my God. I think this is David. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I've looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory, because your steadfast love is better than life. My lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips when I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night. For you have been my help. And in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. But those who seek to destroy my life shall go down in the depths of the earth. They shall be given over to the power of the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. All who swear by him shall exult, for the mouths of liars will be stopped. Psalmist, presumably David there, understands that David belongs to God. He's a child of God. I think David probably knew his scripture fairly well. I think. As I joke in almost every class that I teach now, that there's one verse that seems to come up all the time, every single week. Exodus 19:6, where God says, all the earth is mine. It all belongs to him. It doesn't all belong to him in Jesus Christ. But we're all made in his image. But as people who are made in God's image and who are immersed believers in Jesus Christ, Paul is telling us through his letter to the church at Ephesus, he's telling us, you're beloved children. You're God's own. You belong to Jesus Christ. The Apostle John knew this well. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. Let me skip ahead a little bit there. For this is the message that you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We should not be like Cain, whom we talked a little bit about last week, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death, and everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. So John understands not only that we belong to God in Jesus Christ, that we are his, but we belong to each other. Paul would say it Romans 12. He says it in other places too, but Romans 12 sticks in my brains. We are members one of another. We belong to God. He has made us into his family, and therefore we also belong to one another. It is him whom we belong to, and it is us. Him and us. Colossians 3, where Devontae just read from, I want to start there, but we'll go a little bit farther. If then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Notice how Paul will again, just as he did in Ephesus, he'll touch on both of these things, that we belong to God in Christ, but we also belong to one another. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth, for you've died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these two you once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you've put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, it was just putting to death and putting off. Now it's put on. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, as the ones who belong to God, holy and beloved, put on these things: compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, this is the binding agent, the glue that holds it all together. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Class back in September, October, my Sunday morning class, we were looking at a book by N.T. Wright, and he has a lot to say about this clothing language that Paul uses. He talks about putting off or putting to death, and then also putting on. It literally is clothing language. We clothe ourselves with Christ. That's the word he's using. And he makes this point that when we go to get dressed in the morning or we'll go to change in the afternoon, whatever it may be, and we go to our closet, I think he used the term wardrobe. That'd be his English, right, instead of our American English. So when we go to our closet, we don't just walk in and the clothes just jump and fall on us. Now, it may look like that for some of us, right? But that's not how it works. We look through the rack, or we look through the drawer and the dresser, and we pick out something, and we pick it out on purpose, and we put it on with a little bit of effort, but we're the ones who are making a decision to dress ourselves in a certain way in a certain time. See, that's what Paul's trying to get across to us. He said, these things that you were before, now in Christ, so you put those to death, you take those off, and you purposefully put on the Christ clothes. And in so doing, there are a couple things that we're showing, a couple things that are going on. Number one, and this is the easy one, I think, for most of us who are Christians, and that is to recognize that we belong to God. The harder side of that is recognizing that we belong to each other. As dearly loved children, Paul says, live a life of love. As imitators of God, in fact, live a life of love. And instead of doing the things you used to do, that I used to do, we put those to death, and in their place, we put on things like compassion, hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, and forgiveness, and all these other things that Paul mentions. And in so doing, we love. That's the umbrella over which, that is the context in which all of that occurs, and it's a love we learn and experience and are being equipped in only because we belong to God through Jesus Christ. And throughout the whole thing, we're thankful. And throughout the whole journey, whatever we do in word and in deed, and this is really Paul talking about horizontal interaction. Whatever we are doing in this life, which is going to involve interaction with other people, we do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, continuing to give thanks to God the Father through Him. I think Paul says here in short this, we have been given life through Jesus Christ in order that we may live life in Jesus Christ by living life like Jesus Christ. Did I get all my conjunctions and prepositions right there? Paul says we've been given life through Jesus Christ in order that we may live life in Jesus Christ by living life like Jesus Christ. I've shared some of these, this next list before, so you may have heard some of this. Paul is saying that we live sacrificially, sacrificial living that reveals through us the presence of God. It's a worshipful living in which our hearts, our hands, our minds, our voices, all of us acknowledge the greatness of our holy God. It's transformed living rather than conformed living to culture or society and its behavioral norms and mores. It's renewed mind living for the purpose of determining what is the will of God in order to follow God and to live well. It's self-reflective living so as to better understand what God has created us to be. It is, as Dave Wilson said so eloquently a little while ago, it's gift-oriented living, to bring glory to the God who so gifted us and to show the world His goodness and majesty. It is love-saturated living in imitation of the Christ who loved us first. It is brother- and sister-centric living that focuses on esteeming and encouraging our co-believers through mutual edification, affection, and acts and words of kindness and generosity. It is zealous, spirit-filled living in which we demonstrate a white-hot passion for serving in the name of Christ with hearts that are in tune with God. It is joyful living with heavy doses of prayer and even heavier doses of trust in God in the midst of whatever it is we may be facing in the moment. It is generous living that blesses both fellow believers and strangers. It is blessed living in the throes of hostility or even persecution for the sake of honoring Christ and making Him known through us. It is others-focused living in which we walk with others in sympathy, empathy, and or celebration through victory and through defeat. It is harmonious living to glorify God, to recognize what God has done to bring us together in Jesus Christ. It is humble living, authenticated by our constant desire to grow in the wisdom of God and in our open, loving willingness to serve those whom the world considers of no account. It is honorable living that sees us doing right in the eyes of all around us, responding to daily events, daily pressures, daily altercations, and daily interactions, always in the Spirit of Christ. It is peaceful living, not the avoidance of conflict, but rather mirroring in contentious situations the example of Christ. That is peacemaking rather than peacekeeping. It is redeemed, saved living when hate and harm comes our way from agents of hostility, because Christ suffered and left us precedent to follow in just such cases. Two more. Brady, if you're streaming, just two more. That's an inside family joke. Supernatural living in the form of turning upside down societal, cultural, natural, human behavioral standards exhibited in a love expressed even to enemies through direct service to their needs. And finally, it is holy living that aggressively pursues what God considers good, thereby shining light in dark places. In short, we are God's children. If you're an immersed believer, you are a child of God. In God through Christ, I'll say it again, though we also belong to one another, we are His and we are each other's. It is Him and it is us. And because we are God's and because we are members one of another, we live in a relationship which, and I've used this phrase before, but I just love it so much, in which the independence is equal, the dependence is mutual, and our obligation is reciprocal. I think that's what Paul writes most about, to be honest with you. We read his letters, whether he's writing to Ephesus or Colossae or maybe the Galatians. He goes a little different direction on some things. Corinth, even when he's writing to the young minister Timothy, he's instructing Timothy to instruct other people to live this way, knowing that they belong to God and knowing that they belong to one another. And so the charge from the apostle through the authority of Jesus Christ for us is to live that reality, knowing that we belong to God and knowing that we belong to one another. God, help us to do that every single day.